Each of you, cherished ones, beloved family, welcome. You are made in the image of love. Welcome to the Sunday service at Prairie Street Mennonite Church on this very real 28th day of October in 2018. Practicing loving kindness is like digging deep into the ground until we reach the purest water. We listen deeply until insight arises and love flows to the surface. Joy and happiness radiate. Deep listening is most of all the practice of being present. We are the body of Christ. If you can accept your body, then you have a chance to see your body as your home. We understand each other's suffering. We are here for each other. Giving attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. If we take good care of ourselves and each other, we become a reservoir of joy and freshness. As we develop understanding and compassion, we become an instrument of peace and love to help society and the world. Let us join Kyle Weirich and sing Out of the Blue hymnal, number 537. 537.
We'll sing verse 1 in English, then verse 1 in Spanish, then verse 2 in English.
Apprehend God in all things, for God is in all things. Every single creature is full of God and is a book about God. And the lark said in her song, often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise. Often, often, often goes the Christ in the stranger's guise. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Come, let us rise in body and spirit and sing out of Sing the Story number 1. Let us shout for joy to the rock of our salvation.
Sing the Story, same hymnal, number 26, Helpless and Hungry.
Thank you.
The problem now is how to live in a damaged and broken body. In a world where pain is meant to be gagged, uncured, silenced, ungrieved over. The problem is to connect the pain of anyone's body with the pain of the body's world. How do we laugh and find happiness despite the buried things growing inside? Now the green blade rises from the buried grain. Wheat that in the dark earth many years has lain. Love lives again. That with the dead has been. Love is come again, like wheat that springs up green. When our hearts are wintry, grieving or in pain, by your love you call us back to life again. Fields of our hearts that dead and bare have been, love is come again, like wheat that springs up green. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. Beloved family, I invite you to rise as you are able and be encouraged by hearing these words of assurance. God, the source of our ruler, Jesus Christ, sovereign of the universe, has mercy on us and forgives our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us share Christ's peace with the world, saying, "The peace of Christ be with you." Now, children of all ages, please come forward for a word from Carl Stutzman.
Good morning, everyone. The basket is going around for you to put in your money if you have it, or your blessing if you touch the basket. And God will take our gifts and our blessings and use them to help people who are in need. I can't remember what the project is that we're collecting for. Usually there is one. But God will bless whatever it is that the project is. So today in our service, we're thinking about something called mission. And mission, sometimes we think of as something that people do in other places. So we think maybe there's a missionary going to a different country. But mission is actually a little bit bigger than that. And mission starts out from Jesus. And one of the things that we read in the Bible is that Jesus came to live here with us. And Jesus is the true light coming into the world that cannot be overcome by darkness. So at this time of year, when it's fall, sometimes it feels like it's dark a lot of the time, right? Today is a pretty dark and rainy day. But the Bible tells us that Jesus is a light that can't be overcome by darkness. So even on dark and rainy days, Jesus is still light. And what's even cooler than that is that Jesus actually wants to come and live in all of us, inside of our hearts. And we can invite Jesus to come and live inside of our bodies. And what that means is that when we have Jesus living inside of us, we have some of Jesus's light to give to the whole world. So when I was in Sunday school, maybe when I was about Avi or Nathaniel's age, we had a Sunday school teacher who would always do the same thing with us. We would sing a Sunday school song called This Little Light of Mine. And every time when we would sing that song, she would pass out candies that looked like this. They're called corn candies, but when I was a kid, like some of you, I thought they were called light of mine candies because we would hold them up and we would sing this little light of mine holding our little candies, and then we would get to eat them. So at one point we were referring to how we had light of mine candies, and my mom asked the older ones of us what this was when my younger sibling referred to light of mine candy. So, don't you know, Mom? They're what we use when we sing This Little Light of Mine. And I think that's a really a good way for us to think about our light being spread around the world. So I'm going to pass these around and let you take a candy, and then we will sing the song This Little Light of Mine. And then you can take another candy with you, and you can share it with someone else around you. So the song, the words go like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. And then the next verse that we're going to sing is, everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. And then we're going to sing Shine All Over Elkhart. I'm going to let it shine. And if we really get going, maybe we'll sing Shine All Over the World. So hopefully the adults can help us out with this because I'm not into singing solos. So I think we have a note here. So let's pass this around and then we'll get started. I think we're ready. For singing with me. And there are many more verses of that song that we can learn to sing, but we can go and let our light shine and share our light with other people. So take some to share with others. So we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we will go back to our seats to share our light. Dear Jesus, thank you for these children. You've created them, and you have made them to be vessels for your light. I pray that each one of them would be ready to invite you to live in their hearts, so that your light shines through them to the rest of the world. Go with them in their week ahead and help them to shine light everywhere. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from two places, Exodus 25, 8 and 9, and John 1, 14.
Let them construct a sanctuary for me so that I can live among them. You are to construct it following the plans I've given you, the design for the dwelling and the design for all its furnishings.
Nuestra escritura hoy es de dos lugares, Éxodo 25, de 8 a 9, y Juan 1, 14. Además, quiero que me construyan un santuario para que yo viva entre ustedes. El santuario y todos sus muebles tienen que hacerlos exactamente iguales a los que te voy a mostrar.
John 1:14. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one of a kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish.
Aquel que es la palabra habitó entre nosotros y fue como uno de nosotros. Vimos el poder que le pertenece como Hijo único de Dios, pues nos ha mostrado todo el amor y toda la verdad.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra de Dios. The past few weeks we have been focusing on community and worship, and we now welcome James Crable to deliver the message this morning on our last focus, mission. Missionary God, enlighten us with your wisdom. Fill us with your grace. Teach us where you are found, that our hearts may be forgiving. Open up our preacher James' mouth so that these words declare your praise. Let the words of his mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to you, our leader, rock, and our redeemer.
Amen. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, I greet you all in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the third part of a focus that we've been having on mission, on community and worship and mission. Many of you this morning are newer to this neighborhood, but for those of you who circulate around on the streets of Elkhart, who recognizes this picture? Good for you. There are different interpretations of what is going on. I've had my own interpretation till I read in the paper about 2 weeks ago what the artist himself was trying to accomplish. The artist is an African-American son of Elkhart. He's actually a fairly well-known artist, has published in National Geographic and other sports magazines. And he passed away this month. He was a good friend of many of us. He was many times in my wife's third grade class, came to Roosevelt and Hawthorne, and not only was creating images for the world, but also wanted to help local artists to accomplish pursue their gifts. This is what he says about this. It was about someone greater coming down and stopping violence, about whites and blacks shaking hands in reconciliation and expressing our values of family and church. So in case you had a completely different interpretation, at least it's good to know what the artist had in mind. Now, when I look at this picture, I do see a strong hand coming down and dividing people who are dropping their guns, and that is a central part of what this is about. But what I'd like to focus on this morning is the fact that that greater one that Kelby refers to is coming down, reaching into our world and bringing reconciliation. We sometimes take that for granted in the way we talk about our faith and what God is up to in the world. The fact of the matter is, not all religions put their world together that way. We lived for many years among the Dida people, and they had a very early story about the days when the sky and the earth were very close together, so close together that people walked around bent over like this, because if they would stand up, their head would hit the sky. So God and people who lived in reconciliation. And then one day, as people, Dida people that we lived with, were preparing futu, which is a plantain banana mixture that gets stickier by the minute, and it requires more energy to produce. Someone raised the pestle, those long wooden posts, too high in the sky and hit God in the eye. So God was not a happy camper. God went off to a faraway land and just played hard to get. A few months ago, Jeanette and I had the privilege of attending the Maasai Mennonite Church in Western Kenya. And they have a story that's related to the importance of cattle in their tradition, that when God created the first Maasai man, in this case, God extended a leather strap down to him. And he said, as long as you just listen and don't say a word, I will send cattle down that strap for your community. So the Maasai man was very obedient, and the cattle came from God. But then the Maasai man's neighbor came out of his hut, and he saw cattle coming down the leather strap. And he said, "Ee-woo!" And God said, "Did I hear somebody say something? I thought I told you to be quiet and just listen." And God pulled the strap back up to heaven, and no more cattle came down. So the Maasai have struggled with having enough cattle and have needed to steal cattle from the neighboring tribes in order to have what they need. Some religions or ideologies don't really have a God to come down. Some of them have an angry God who doesn't want to come down. Some worship a God who can't come down. It's not a part of God's nature to do that. For others, it's a heresy that God would come down, because God is in the heavens, transcendent above all of us, and doesn't mingle with the world that God created. The biblical story is a little different. From the very beginning, the missionary God of the biblical story has come down. And it starts in the first couple chapters of Genesis, where even after our ancestors rebelled against God, it was God who came into their space and called out their names. In the original language, Vobishtu, where are you? That's for Ben Ollenberger that we're celebrating this week. Now, that's funny to us, except that it's not a heresy for us to say that, because we actually believe that God cares enough about communicating with us that he speaks our language. Some religions would say God speaks Arabic or God speaks Hindi. And to really understand God, you have to learn God's language. But not in the Christian faith. It's great to study Greek and Hebrew. But the Christian church has spent a lifetime translating the Word of God so that everybody everywhere can understand the good news in their own language. That is at the core of God coming down and communicating with us. And it continues throughout the scriptures. God sends down the law, but then that's not enough. That's not bad. Because before, people didn't know what God wanted, and now they do. But then God said, "Moses, I want you to go down and prepare a place for me, because I want to come down the mountain and reside among my people." Wow, that's the kind of God we serve. In the middle of the camp, God resides. God is in our world. And that story continues throughout the entire biblical narrative. God puts words in the mouths of prophets who become messengers for what God wants to communicate. And ultimately, God takes on human flesh and blood and lives among us. Without that, you might have some other religion, but you don't have the Christian faith. This is central to the Christian faith. It's central to the way the missionary God of the Bible operates in our faith. So I like this translation, paraphrase, of Eugene Peterson, who I want to honor today because he also passed away this week. Maybe you knew that, the one who worked hard on giving us the message in a contemporary way of talking. The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. That creates an image for me. And it's so central to the way we think as God's people of the Christian faith that we've created images. We don't know what Jesus looked like, but we've created images of this God among us because it's okay to do that. It's not a heresy. I won't get killed for painting a picture of Jesus. That could happen in some other ways of thinking, but not in the Christian faith, because we know that God put on a human face. And so people in different cultures have tried to depict what they think Jesus looked like. And more often than not, Jesus looked like the painter's world. So it might have been a Western Jesus. It could be Rembrandt's Dutch Jesus. We don't really know, except that there's also this one that is sometimes referred to as the BBC Jesus, because people have done some research in trying to capture all the images they can of what a male in the first century might have looked like or did look like. And so somebody's actually put together a composite of what Jesus may have looked like. It's not exactly what I thought of, because it's not like any of the Jesuses in my Bible storybooks. Maybe the Apostle Paul, but Jesus. But it doesn't matter. It's fine to work at different images of Jesus. And people around the world for 2,000 years have been trying to imagine what Jesus coming into their culture would look like. And so we have many, many images, as many as you can find on the internet, of what Jesus looks like as a Korean, as a Japanese, because Jesus comes into our world. And wherever two or three Mongolians are gathered in Jesus' name, Jesus is there. That's central to the Christian message. We know Jesus lived in a particular culture, in a particular time and place. But we also know that the biblical story tells us Jesus is God coming down and living among us. This is really at the heart of God's missionary effort. But then it goes a little further, because it's not just good enough to say that Jesus came down. The people who focus on Jesus, who give their lives to this Jesus, who embrace what Jesus did and said, become the followers of Jesus, the disciples of Jesus. And we are called to continue the work of Jesus. So it isn't just God's mission, it's God's mission as we are invited to participate in that one who walked among us. And whenever he walked into a space, people who felt incomplete, broken, said to themselves, if I could just come into the presence of this one, even if I've been to all the doctors I know, I might get healed. If I could just touch this one, I might find health and spiritual good news for my soul. So we are called to continue the work of Jesus as the body of Christ. Christ is the head, and we are the body. It's interesting that Paul doesn't say, you're sort of like the body of Christ. Paul says, you are the body of Christ. That one who walked around into the neighborhoods of his day You're now the body with Christ as your head. And so you continue the work Jesus began. It's interesting as we look around the world, whether it's the Muslim world or lots of people in our own country, Jesus has a pretty good reputation. Jesus did a lot of good things, but the church, not so much. People like Jesus, they don't know if they like the church. But what if we actually thought of ourselves as the body of Christ continuing the work of Jesus? And if people in Elkhart could just touch Prairie Street, they might find healing. Well, now there's a concept. That's our mission. That is who we are and what we do. I have a friend who travels a lot, and it's not me, it's somebody like me, who was trying to catch a late night plane, and he's running through the airport, and he hasn't had a chance to eat dinner. So he runs as fast as he can, and he just before he gets to his gate, he sees there's this little shop that's open, and he says to himself, I got to get myself something to eat. I can eat it on the plane. So he rushes into this little shop, and it's a Popeyes. Any of you ever eaten at Popeyes? Three people. What are they known for? Thank you, chicken. So he runs in there, and he says, you know, I'm really running late. Just throw some chicken in a box, and I'll be good. And charge me whatever it is. So the young woman who's working there looks at him and says, I am sorry, sir, but we have run out of chicken. We do have biscuits and coleslaw, but we have run out of chicken. And he looked at her and he said, but chicken is what you do. Continuing the work of Jesus is who the church is and what it does. It's all that matters. That's what we do. So Jesus has given us a few clues on how we ought to work at that. He's shown us how, and he's indicated where we might want to think about doing that. The gospel writers go into all kinds of details about things Jesus did, and every now and then they are helpful to us by summarizing what Jesus did. And Matthew is one of those. From Matthew 9:35, Jesus went around throughout all of Galilee, towns and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. Those three verbs are fascinating. As we move forward as Prairie Street, it might be interesting to think back and think forward about how we're continuing the work of Jesus. We have a long teaching history in this congregation. There was a school started across the street many, many years ago. My grandfather was a Lancaster County farmer who finished high school but wanted more. He took the train to Elkhart, Indiana in the late 1800s, and studied at the Elkhart Institute. And that was part of the DNA of this congregation. And there's been a lot of teaching over the years through Sunday schools and other things that we've done through creating literature. I sometimes miss Sunday school. I wonder how we work at teaching today. We have such busy lives, we default to fellowship, which is very important. But I also like to hear what God's doing in people's lives and how the scripture interacts with that. So that's one of the questions we might want to ask going forward. You know, how are we doing continuing the work of Jesus? and preaching, sharing our faith, calling people to faith, inviting people to be part of this community, teaching about the kingdom of God and what God is doing in the world. Healing is another thing. We don't just care about the brain or the heart. We care about the whole body because Jesus did. And Jesus went about all the villages healing. We've had professional healers in this congregation. When I first came here in 65, we had 5 MDs and a whole batch of RNs. Well, that isn't Prairie Street anymore, but we work at healing in other ways. We engage in the community. We listen to people, even in our own congregation, and try to bring healing to difficult situations. And our sister this morning in leading worship did a marvelous job of helping us think about our bodies and what it means to be whole and healed by Jesus. So these are important things. Going forward, we might want to ask, how are we doing in continuing the work of Jesus? And then there's the where. Go into all the world, you'll receive power, first of all in Jerusalem to be witnesses, and then in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Some people have said that isn't just the story of the Acts of the Apostles, it's actually a program for us today. Because Jerusalem means that we have some kind of active presence within 4 miles of our congregation, or in our Judea and Samaria, the 40-mile radius, or to the ends of the earth, we have some important connection with something God's doing, the church, as far away as 4,000 miles. So my impression when I travel around is that healthy churches actually work at all of those in some way. Some churches only care about Main Street or Prairie Street. And others only care about giving or whatever, praying for things as far away from home as possible because I don't have time for that. I don't have any time for local stuff. But Jesus calls us to be witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. I think we've done okay by having even as a founder someone who said Elkhart matters. It's possible to be a Mennonite in the city. There's a concept. And he came and worked at that. The first number of years, there were only a few members here for quite a while. And little by little, it became a growing congregation. And over the years, we've tried to take Elkhart seriously. We're still here, folks. And it's not by accident. It's by decision. People at Prairie Street felt it was important to be in this place. And here we are. But we've also worked in the larger area. In 1929, Prairie Street said, there should be a Mennonite church across the tracks. So in 1929, Belmont came into being. In 1936, Pleasant View, a little further east, was born. In 1949, the Roselawn congregation. Look at what was going on in the country in some of those times. We're about to go into a depression. I have an idea. Let's start a church. Perfect conditions. It never seemed to matter, other than the passion of the people of the congregation, that this was the time to do that. And there's been an ongoing growth out of some of those congregations. Pleasant View planted 2 of its own congregations. So something that was the vision of Prairie Street for the region became even broader as the church grew. And then there is the 4,000-mile thing. We've done a lot of things internationally. Mennonite Board of Missions was born on this location, not in this building, but right here, where people gathered for an all-night prayer and sought the will of God and sent the first old Mennonite missionaries to India. So pretty deep in our DNA is what's going on elsewhere. We've had people working in Africa, in Japan, in parts of India, in many places around the world. In 1989, I put together a map that hung in one of the billboards for many, many years, but actually had all the photos of all the people. There were like 40 or 50 people in 89 who had lived or ministered in other parts of the world. That's been pretty deep for us, but some of those are starting to fade. Going forward, how much does the 4,000 matter? Do we have energy for that? Do we want to continue to support what God is doing? It's one of the questions we have to ask. So in about 2 or 3 years, we're going to be 150 years old, and I'm feeling old. How are we going to process how to move forward? Do we want to decide that Jerusalem for us right now is more important? Or the 40-mile radius, or supporting work around the world? These are interesting questions if we're going to continue the work of Jesus, because this is what Jesus told us to do. So we'll have to discern how we go moving forward. We've sometimes said we have these 5 M's that are deep in our DNA: mission, music, mentoring, migration, and media. Are they still important? Just because they represent where we've been doesn't necessarily mean they have to represent where we're going. So we have lots to talk about. A couple years ago, I visited a Taiwanese church, Mennonite church, and they were getting ready to celebrate their 50th anniversary. And I said, "So, are you going to write a book?" That's what Mennonites do, right? We write a book about the 50 years. You know what he told me? "Nah, we got enough books. We want to leave a legacy and celebrate the 50 years, but what we're going to do is plant a church. That'll be the legacy." Whoa. So how big is your church right now? We have about 60 people. Does that sound familiar to anybody? They're going to plant a church. Really? How are you going to do that? And as we were walking out of the door, he pointed me to this. He said, "This is what I have on my door going out of my office into the congregation and the world." And he says, "You know what that means? It means pray until something happens. P-U-S-H. Every time I walk out of here, I don't know what God has for this congregation, but I am going to pray until something happens." Maybe that's a good word for us. So as we move forward in God's mission, I just have 6 words of counsel for you, and they're pretty simple. And it's this: don't run out of chicken. It's about that simple, because continuing the work of Jesus is who we are and what we do. Amen.
Turn in the green, sing the journey hymnal to number 31, "He Came Down."
Hallelujah. is not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting.
Turn in the purple Sing the Story hymnal to number 28, Holy Child Within the Manger. And those who are able, please stand.